This is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski on 104.5 The Zone.
The final hour of the Midday 180 will include our thoughts on the Preds falling to the Coyotes and trailing 0-1 in the qualifying round of the NHL postseason. But we kick off the 1 o'clock hour with Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan speaking with the media.
You know, if it works 1%, let's get it done. Let's make sure we're all being safe and in our designated areas. So, but yeah, you watch baseball, basketball, and hockey the way that they've been able to kind of get things going. And obviously baseball's had a lot of positive tests, but you know, for the NFL, I think it's, let's get to week one and hopefully it worked out there. I mean, I'm sure there'll be something that happens where, you know, 1 week someone's out because of something that's part of the reality of probably what's going to happen, but everybody wants to play.
Teresa.
Afternoon, Taylor. You talked earlier this year about wanting to be more of a leader on this team. With COVID, how much of that is going to be, you know, trying to encourage guys when they're away from the building and all the protocols and safety measures that are there at the headquarters?
I think when it comes to that stuff, it's your obligation to be a pro when you're outside of the building. This isn't college football. This isn't high school football anymore. This is not an arena league. This is the big leagues. And so if guys want to be a part of it, if guys want to, you know, take, you know, part in this season, then it's on them to do those types of things. I can't go and micromanage a bunch of guys. I know that for myself, I'm going to be the best pro I possibly can be. I have a daughter that's 15 days old today. So, you know, we're one of those high risk situations and I'm just trying to be as smart as possible. And kind of, this is one of the things you have to take care of your own stuff. And, you know, we'll be vocal and make sure that guys are smart and do the best they can. But when they leave this building, it's truly on them. And it's just about being a pro and making sure you're in the right situation and don't put yourself in a position to contract something or be somewhere that you shouldn't be. I mean, this is a business and this is what we're trying to do, is have a football season. It's not about going out.
Jim White.
Taylor, I know a lot of skill position players gathered this offseason. A lot of the defensive players did the same. What could the offensive players do this offseason to kind of hit the ground running? Did you guys gather as a group to work through some things? And what was that like, if so?
Yeah, for the offseason, it was tough for everybody to get together. But as an offensive line, our group has done a great job of staying in contact with everybody. We have a very close-knit group. Guys that come to this team and leave this team, one thing that's been fairly consistent is guys comment on how close this offensive line is. So for us, we've preached, hey, we need to start this season the way we finished. Let's not start slowly like we have in the past and get going. And at the same time, put 2019 in the rearview mirror and get ready to go in 2020. So we're getting guys going here, working on techniques and fundamentals. That's what this first couple of weeks is about. And so I'm pretty confident, being third year in the same offense, that we have a huge opportunity here, especially as an offensive line, to mold and gel fast and not have those hiccups of whether it was me being suspended at the beginning of the year, all the sacks in the beginning of the year. We have an opportunity to write those and take advantage of our opportunities.
Gentry.
Yeah. Taylor, did, you know, given some of the family concerns, did you ever consider opting out this year, or was that a difficult decision at all for you?
Not for me. You know, obviously there's a safety aspect that comes into this thing. But like I said, it's about being as smart as you possibly can. When I go home, there's different measures that my wife and I and my mother-in-law who's in town go through to make sure that our children are safe and, you know, just do the best we can. It's hard, but this is my job. This is what I've wanted to do my entire life. So this was never a thought of me forever to opt out or anything like that.
And kind of along those lines, you know, back to the idea of a bubble, if it did come about where during a season teams were put in a site, you know, kind of restricted for weeks at a time, would you be okay with that? Do you think most players would be okay with that?
I can only speak for myself in those types of things. I think I'm willing to do whatever it takes at this point to make sure that we have a football season and that, you know, week one, we go to Denver and be able to play against those guys. Huge opportunity against Vaughn Miller and Bradley Chubb. So it's, for other guys, you'd have to ask other guys and ask Vrabel and John. I mean, hypothetically speaking, if we're in a bubble, I feel, you know, my wife and I know what this is. 6 months, people, I've said this several times, that people go overseas and fight for our country for way less. And you know, for me, like this would be a no-brainer. Anything they need me to do, I'm willing to do.
Teron?
Yeah, Taylor, you mentioned carrying over what you guys did last season. How much does that continuity play into you guys as far as everything that's going on with the pandemic and how things were limited as far as from a preparation and on-field standpoint?
Yeah, I think the continuity you're speaking of, how close we are as a unit is huge. It gives me an opportunity to look at a guy like Roger Saffold and say, hey, listen, that's not how we're going to do it. Or him say the same thing to me. Me look at Ben Jones, hey, that was the wrong call. Or him tell me, hey, that was the wrong step. And being with Keith for a third year, and Mike Sullivan and I have been together since my rookie year here. So I think the closer you are, the more you understand your teammates and how their personalities work, it's easier for us to all push the cart in the direction we want to go. And, you know, we want to repeat and do better than we did last year. That's what we want to do. And it's just about when we have the opportunity to get on the field together, working the small, minute details. Cause we know the offense, you know, you can put up a play and, you know, 95% of the guys are going to be able to rattle off the keys of that play, what the scheme is and everything. But now it's about fine tuning those details. And that, I think that's a really big deal for us being in the third year of this offense.
Appreciate it.
John Glennon.
Hey, Taylor. I know you talked about the closeness of the line a little bit ago. I'm wondering if you've had much of a chance to be in touch with Isaiah Wilson since he was placed on the COVID list and any report on kind of how things are coming along for Isaiah?
Yeah, I mean, as far as how things are going for Isaiah, you'll have to talk to Vrabel and John about that. When it goes to the COVID stuff, I kind of, you know, I focus on my area and make sure that I do the best for my teammates to make sure that, you know, I don't tamper anything. But at the same time, Isaiah and I talk very consistently since he was drafted here. We've worked together in person on techniques and fundamentals and what Keith is going to look for when we get into the season, when we get an individual. This is what when he says these type of keywords, this is what he wants from you. And those, you guys talked about leadership a little bit ago. Those are the types of things I'm looking for. Looking to do better is helping out those guys and bring people along and also give myself an opportunity to be a better football player as well.
Buck.
Hey, Taylor, how is, we talked to Byard about Dennis Kelly being the player union rep and how he's kind of policing things. How has Dennis been from your perspective handling all of that with you guys?
I think Dennis would be an unbelievable dictator in any country. As the way he's been handling the mask thing. And so, although it's been very annoying, he's doing a good job. And I hate even saying that out loud. Dennis is a really good friend of mine, so I hate throwing the boy compliments, but Dennis and I actually got into it today about me and my mask was below my nose. So he made sure and told me the protocols of what to do. And so he's been doing a good job. He's definitely is not worried about being annoying from that sense, which is good.
Last one, Luke.
Taylor, with offensive line obviously being probably the position most prone to contact, what is your understanding of what you and your teammates up front will be able to do in practice? I mean, is there a chance that your first live rep is against Bradley Chubb or Von Miller?
No. I mean, as soon as we go to practice, we're going to go practice. That's the way this goes. We're doing the testing protocols and, you know, it's one of those things where we go out to practice and I'm going to be going against Harold Landry and Vic Beasley and those types of guys. So no, it's not my first live rep. My first game rep is definitely going to be versus those guys, cause that's the first game. So, but we do testing and the Titans are doing a good job of putting us through these protocols to make sure that we're safe. And I wouldn't be here if I didn't feel safe. So we need to, when we go to practice, it's practice. It's not going to be like, we're not tiptoeing around anything. We're getting ready to play football. From my understanding, now things might change that I wasn't told about yet, but as far as I'm concerned, that's what I plan on doing when I get to practice.
Thank you.
That's left tackle Taylor Lewan. Chad, I loved everything he had to say right there. That's Lewan at his best, and that's Lewan the leader. And we hear from that guy every now and then, each offseason and throughout the season. Now, we also see the guy who gets, you know, three or four penalties in a game. And that's what you get. But throughout his career, he has matured more. We had said that last year, though, and then he, you know, had the four-game suspension to begin the season. They need him this year. And I referenced the suspension because I immediately thought of that when I think of the week one matchup against Denver and that front that they're going to be facing from Vic Fangio's defense, Lawan is a huge anchor point to everything they're doing offensively moving forward.
Yeah, and if you make the decision to play, if you're not stopping and opting out because of health concerns, you want everyone on your team to have the mentality of Taylor Lewan and what yes. he said. He didn't really give it a lot of second thought about it a little bit, but he's full steam ahead. And he talked about the needs of this team to be professional and that this is not the time to be going out, right? This is your job. And this season especially, your job is to stay in and stay out of big groups and do everything you can to stay healthy. I thought he showed great leadership in that interview, and that is exactly what you want if you're a Titans fan. For every player that is not opting out, you want them to have the exact same mentality of Taylor Lewan. No fear, full steam ahead, but also being smart and not putting yourself in situations where you could get this virus. I think it was very well said by Taylor Lewan throughout.
Coming up, we will hear from tight end Jonnu Smith. He's next. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. This is 104.5 The Zone. Coming up, we will hear from Titans tight end, Jonnu Smith. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue online, edleysbbq.com. Chad, you were on the air, of course, during lunch, but if you took a lunch hour break today, would you have gone to Edley's or Poncho and Lefty's?
I went Poncho and Lefty's last time, so let's mix it up and go with Edley's this time.
So there are some shareables I'd like to tell you about. You got the smoked wings, which come with 10 wings. They have the sausage and pimento cheese plate, also available as a shareable. I mentioned the Edley's nachos. That is a huge, huge hit at Edley's. But also, the barbecue loaded fries. That's intriguing because you can get that with kettle chips, nacho cheese, pico de gallo, your choice of pork or chicken. You can add brisket to that order as well with the loaded fries. That sounds really good.
Hutton, I'm going to surprise you with this order, but I'm going to go with the sausage and pimento cheese plate as my shareable. I'm a big fan of sausage, and I'm a big fan of pimento cheese. Both excellent. I'm going with that. And again, it's like the wings, right? When you're in the mood for wings, you got to have wings to satisfy that craving. When you are in the mood for good pimento cheese, you better get that pimento cheese right away. And that's what I want from Edley's this go around.
I thought you were going to say sausage again.
Sausage also. When you're in the mood for it, nothing else satisfies.
Edley'sBBQ.com, Edley's app. That's what you download on the phone. You can see the entire menu because they have the platters, they have the shareables, the salads, the tacos, the family take and bake meals, family style barbecue to go. They've got it all. Edley'sBBQ.com. Predators and Coyotes. Tomorrow, it's game two, 1:30 face-off. We're live at 10 a.m. leading up to face-off. We're going to watch the game after our show at Scoreboard Bar and Grill, and our listeners are invited. If you're driving around, you're like, oh, Midday 180 is going to be out. Yeah, we are, and we're out for the first time since March. The last time we did a show together on the road, we were on, we were at Bridgestone Arena. We were getting set to watch Tennessee play basketball, and unfortunately, that did not happen. They were about to go out for warmups when the tournament was canceled and we went back to the studio. So that was our last time out, and it will be happening again tomorrow and Wednesday. Scoreboard Bar and Grill, 2408 Music Valley Drive. And Chad, you've got some great specials that Scoreboard has passed along.
That's right. 2-for-1 drinks all day. That's easy enough to know about and easy enough to like. Also a $20 seafood boil, and they've got oysters available for you there also. A great Gulf seafood menu at Scoreboard Bar and Grill that they feature. And that seafood boil for $20, cannot beat that deal. Come on down, eat some seafood with us. They also have hot chicken. They've got a lot of great options at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Whatever you want, they've got it, plus 2-for-1 drinks, plus a free Preds Midday 180-themed T-shirt. Come join us. We're broadcasting 10 to 2. Game starts at 1:30 tomorrow. Hope to see a lot of you out there.
And we're going to be following social distancing measures. We're going to be safe. We're going to follow the protocols, and we're going to watch the game with our season ticket holders. We can't wait. And again, come grab those Midday 180 Preds T-shirts. Get them.
We're not doing this on the back of a John Deere tractor or anything that's rolling around downtown or inside of a hot tub. That will not be the broadcast setup tomorrow. It is a huge outdoor patio.
Massive. With
televisions everywhere.
Great television setup.
Our Stanley Cup final watch party for game two against the Penguins back in, I guess, 2017 it was. Yeah, 2017. You'll remember the setup there and how big it is on that patio. Plenty of room to spread out. Hope to see a lot of you there. Going to be a lot of fun.
Here's hoping Reed can make it out there after the show tomorrow. I haven't seen him in a long time.
I feel like Reed, the way he was nodding, was kind of in the mood for some sausage and pimento cheese, like myself. You could tell that really, I spoke to him. I spoke to his soul when I said sausage and pimento cheese.
Yeah, I perked up. Anytime I hear pimento cheese and it's in association with Edley's, I'm all for it. But that $20 seafood boil, all you can eat, kind of has my ear as well tomorrow.
Me too. I have perked up every time Chad has said that because I haven't heard the promo that mentions it. But it's there, and I can't wait. 10 a.m., I hope it's ready to go. Lay out the newspaper. Just dump it out there on the table for me.
I mean, I'll help with it if they need. I'll be out there boiling water and doing whatever needs to be done. I can certainly contribute that way also while we're doing the show.
We discussed earlier our it wasn't great. Let's just put it that way. Our reaction to the Preds' loss to the Arizona Coyotes. They played well after that first period when it was 5-on-5 hockey. The problem is the majority of the time, it felt like the special teams were out there, either for or against. There were a lot of penalties, and Arizona capitalized. The one bad bounce happened off of the first goal for Arizona, and then, Chad, it was all downhill for the Coyotes. I mean, I looked up and said, what just happened? And those what just happened moments, they've happened far too frequently with this team. And at some point, you can no longer just say, oh, the unlucky bounce. It's not just about that.
Well, I think for the city of Nashville, your first sports are back locally moment was deflating early on with that bad bounce and that first Arizona goal. And I felt like the Preds reacted a lot like the fans did and were deflated for the next 12 minutes. In their performance, they got outshot 12-1 over a 12-minute span to fall behind 3-0. I thought incredibly mentally weak at that point, and then very mentally strong in the back half of the game.
Yeah,
with the comeback and almost tying it up, and getting those two goals back to make it 4-3, and also the end of the 2.7 seconds left in the first period to score that power play goal to make it 3-1 gave them a good shot going into the second period. Just a sloppy performance. They were on the penalty kill 6 times in the game. You're certainly not going to come back when you're down 3-0 at one point when that's the case. They get a lot of things to clean up, but the good news is come out tomorrow while we're having the watch party at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Come out tomorrow, get that win, and all is well. You know, you've righted the ship for now, and it's all even, and there's no real home ice advantage, obviously, with no fans in the stands and playing every game there in Edmonton. So things are looking up, but now they put themselves up against the wall now because it's a must-win situation tomorrow.
Well, they went, they had the early power play to start the game. They had a couple of decent looks. They missed those opportunities, but again, power play there was strong. Arizona has the bounce of all bounces to go in, but they can't let the bad bounce turn into 3-0, 3-0, right? Like it's at some point you have to stop the bleeding. They spent the money on Johansson and Duchesne. They've made a coaching change. You can't blame Pekka anymore. Pekka's on the bench. Poile has put this group together, and it's his leadership group. Now it's time for these moves, these tweaks, these overhauls, the new scheme to pay off. And I just don't see a situation where it's a mail-it-in situation for the Preds. I find that extremely hard to believe. You don't fly across half of the globe to return to practice. You quarantine. Then you travel in isolation for that type of effort. And I'm not saying the effort we saw yesterday. I'm just saying that we see them fall flat and go 0-2. I don't see that in the realm of possibility. Tomorrow afternoon, should be one of the best all-out efforts we've ever seen from this group because of what's at stake. To me.
I totally agree. And I don't think that we saw a team that's ready to quit yesterday. I think they had a very bad stretch in the first period, but I don't see a group that's going to go up there and lay down against the 11 seed and be done because they lost the first game of a 5-game series. I think the effort's going to be, it's not just effort. I don't want to say that their effort was bad the whole game. It's more of an urgency And I think we're going to see a lot better urgency from the jump when the puck drops tomorrow, as opposed to game one, where the urgency really didn't start until they were down multiple goals.
Need some big plays, some big moments. The Titans had some big moments. And the big playoff victory, the last moment we have to grasp onto, was that win in Baltimore. And the way that team played against the number one seed in the NFL, one of the big playmakers was Jonnu Smith. And if he decides to join their Zoom chat, we'll hear from him in just a moment. But he can be a big part of this Titans offense. He has spent a big part of the offseason training with quarterback Ryan Tannehill. And since Delanie Walker has been on the mend the last 2 years, Smith has had his opportunity to step up and be the number one receiving target from the position. That has allowed him to go into what is the final year of his deal with a lot on the table. He could be a huge part of the receiving game. He's improved as a blocker, but is much more of a threat as a receiver in this offense. And Chad, that's why many feel like he's about to have a career year with Tannehill at the helm.
A touchdown in Baltimore was a big moment for him, and showing some of that freakish athletic ability at times. And his role is definitely going to be elevated going into this season.
But the comparisons to Delanie are a bit unfair.
Well, they're not going to ask as much of him as they asked of Delanie also, right?
I just don't see. So some say, well, he could put up Delanie Walker numbers. He could.
He doesn't need to.
He could. Yeah. But he's not going to have to in this type of offense with the playmakers around him. When you start to compare the playmakers around Delanie Walker in 2014, 15, and 16 to what Jonnu Smith had around him and has around him now, it's vastly different. You know, Bishop Sankey was the running back for the Titans whenever Delanie Walker was putting up massive yardage. And Justin Hunter was, you know, the JAG, just a guy on the back of his preseason jersey in training camp uniform. That was around Delanie Walker. It's a much different landscape of talent that John Robinson has put together. Reed, you can put your hand down. I don't think he's coming, but we're on standby here for a while.
Reed's going to develop tennis elbow.
I know.
Having to wait on Jonnu Smith over there. His arm was up the whole time. Oh, now there we go. Look, the hand went down, and then he's ready.
Okay, here's Jonnu Smith with the media.
John Glennon.
Hey, Jonnu, appreciate your time. You guys were one of the better offenses in the league last year and in two tight end offenses. Wondering why you think that was and kind of what the strengths of the team are when they're in a two tight end offense.
It's been a combination of things, man. Just when opportunity meets preparation, and trust, between the coaching staff and the players, just good things come out of that. And we just got to continue to build off of that, man, and just continue to take strides and always have a improving mindset. Nobody's feel like we've arrived or that we've accomplished anything. We just still coming with that same chip on our shoulder and just having same mentality that we did going into last year. And we got pretty far, but we came up short. But we know our issues.
Jim White.
John, you're taking a flyer here right out of the gate. I know Ryan said he worked with Darrington Evans down in Florida, and I'm just curious to see whether you're a part of that group, and if so, what you thought about him.
Yeah, we was down there working in South Florida, putting in a lot of great work this off season. Ryan was great, best I've ever seen him since I've been around him. He looks confident. I know he's ready to lead this team, and I know he's definitely going to make some strides this year. As we all are, Darrington Evans, very, very fascinating player. Just as athletic as he can be, as quick as he can be. It's going to be a great addition to this offense. And, I know we're going to find ways to, get him the ball and, help use him to help him, help us win some games.
Tara?
Jonnu, what types of things did Delanie Walker leave behind for you in terms of showing you the game?
Man, a lot. That's I can give you guys, but just to sum it all up, man, just really take advantage of the opportunity that he left on me. You know, I just remember those conversation that we had during that Chief game and even after that game. You know, just him telling me to take advantage of every opportunity that's given to me. But I've had the pleasure to watch Delaney throughout the course of my career and, you know, just learn from him, man, and just be open book. That was really, you know, really a blessing to me to be in that position, to learn from a guy like that, man. And, you know, it was just an amazing time having him here. I mean, to be able to just, you know, be a kind of like a fly on the wall.
Teresa Walker.
John U, with the continuity on offense, 10 of the 11 starters back, as explosive as you all were able to be at times last year, what's the confidence level of what this offense is possible or capable of doing this year?
You know, we don't set limits on ourselves. We got a lot of work to put in. And, you know, we just, like I said earlier, we just going to continue to have that growth mindset. Always looking to improve, man. And, you know, just know, you know, that, you know, we have everything in front of us to take. We just always going to try to get better, you know, adjust and adapt to, you know, the uncertainties of what we're dealing with right now. And I think that, you know, the way that we handle this, it'll be a huge part of, you know, our success. So we just got to continue to have a growth mindset and just, you know, I think we're going to be in a, I know we're going to be in a great position.
Dave Foster.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Delaney not being there as well for the first time in 7 years, I think it is now. How much of that role, Janu, do you think you can step up and fill, whether it be in the meeting room or on the field as one of, as the guy who's now been here with this team the longest?
I'm sorry, you said that one more time?
I said, how much of that Delaney Walker role do you think that you can fill now that he won't be here opening a camp for the first time in, I think it's 7 years?
Yeah, I feel like right now I'm trying to definitely surpass fulfilling the shoes that, you know, that he walked in. Delaney was a great player. And, you know, I always talked about never setting limitations on myself. And I felt like if I was to say that I'm just trying to fill shoes at this point, then I'm selling myself short. So what I mean is I just want to continue to surpass everything Delaney's did. And, you know, what any great tight end has done, man, I'm trying to be the best. And, you know, that's the foundation that, you know, I've, you know, laid out for myself, and I just got to fulfill that. I want to, you know, help this team be in the best position come the season. So I'm just trying to work every day as hard as I can, man, put myself in that position and make sure I stay ready day in and day out. So as far as fulfilling shoes, it'll definitely be a challenge to surpass, you know, a guy like Blaney and everything that he's done. But I'm definitely up for that challenge. And, you know, that's just why I am the player I am.
Rhett Bryan.
Hey, Jono, it's good to see you. Thanks for the time. Just to kind of follow up with, you know, what people have said about Delaney and what you've said about Delaney, what have you gone into this season knowing it's important, not only for your teammates, but you're the guy in that room now, and kind of your thought process going into this important season for you?
Everything that has happened last season is in the past. The quicker that we can get over that, the more ahead that we'll be, the more ready we'll be. So just having that, just knowing that and just being educated on that, you know, messaging that to the guys in the locker room, to everyone in this organization, you know, we'll put ourselves in a great position.
Eric?
Hey, Janu, I'm just curious, have you imagined at all what it would be like to play games without fans this season, what that experience would be like for players? And is that something that maybe is even more disappointing now than it would normally be just because of what this team did last year to energize the fan base?
Yeah, man, I don't know what that'll be like. You know, I have no clue what the season will look like, man. I wish I could answer that question more thoroughly, but It's definitely some uncertain times, but I think the best teams will just adjust and adapt. And, you know, that's what we're focusing on. I think that no matter what is thrown our way, you know, we'll use, you know, every rule to our advantage and, you know, just try to get better. As far as fans go, you know, hopefully, I mean, if we can, you know, the health of, you know, our society is more important than, you know, a football game. So that's what's most important. So if we can collectively have, you know, a safe way for fans to come and, you know, players play, then that'll be great. But if it's, you know, not in the best interest of, you know, fans and the players and, you know, everyone, you know, on staff and this organization and, you know, everyone has something to do with, you know, the game day, I don't think it should happen. So, I hope we can get it done, man. You know, hopefully we can find a way to, you know, have a safe game with some fans.
That's tight end Jonnu Smith, listening to a portion there of his media availability. Reminder that tomorrow evening we have the student broadcaster seminar, absolutely free. If you're a student or you know a student who is interested in the world of sports broadcasting, absolutely free seminar taking place on Zoom. You can sign up through 1045thezone.com. It includes the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, the voice of the Vols, Bob Kessling, Emily Proud from News 2, Kevin Ingram from the Wake Up Zone. We will be involved with this show as well, representing Midday 180. Looking forward to that, chatting with some of the youth. Chad, we're no longer allowed to have interns, so this is our opportunity to lend some advice to those going through some of the coursework and the path to getting into sports radio, television, the whole gamut.
It's our last chance to give back, Hutton. Since we no longer have interns, this is it for us. This is our connection to the youth of America tomorrow night. Is it at 6 p.m.? Did you say? What time is it again?
It can't be at 6. We're on the air at 6.
Oh, okay. Post-game show brought to you by I Can't Find It. The hell with
it's on at 7 tomorrow.
I'm looking through all my papers over here. What time is it? 6? Oh, 7 o'clock. Okay, good. Now, that's going to be fun tomorrow night. Looking forward to it. And again, you're out nothing. It's free. So if you're in college, you're recently graduated, you're interested at all in a career in broadcasting and media, hit us up. Join that Zoom link. You can go to the website, 1045thezone.com, to sign up. You need a RSVP for it, though, so we know how many people will be in the room. And all you got to do is have a Zoom account at that point, and you will be added to that room tomorrow night. And chance to talk to Mike Keith and Bob Kessling and Emily Proud. And if anyone wants to talk to us, you can talk to us as well. And maybe if you want to apply for an internship by the fall of 2021, we can add you. If there's any freshmen in the room that 3 years from now would like to be an intern, you can apply for that 2023 internship that we hope to have back.
Again, 1045thezone.com for details. PK will rejoin the show in just a moment. We'll recap some of the top comments that we heard from the four players we heard from today over at Titans training camp. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. This is 1045 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. PK back in the chat with us. I call it the chat. It's the show. My bad, Paul. Welcome. Yeah.
Looks like a chat. For what we're doing, looks like a chat. It's the show. You're right. Jonnu Smith, right at the end there, I don't know if you were with them or not. I think this thing is going to happen. I think they're going to be able to keep this thing under control. I don't know. Anybody's keeping this thing under control, but you get the gist of what he's saying is he's got some confidence here at a time where everybody's looking at Major League Baseball and wondering how exactly it gets done outside of a bubble. But some confidence in Taylor Lewan calling Dennis Kelly, the NFLPA player rep, a good dictator. He'd make a good dictator, he said, for the way that he's enforcing NFLPA mandates. Well,
here's hoping every locker room has that type of NFLPA leader. You know, the McCourty's, yeah. McCourty serve as that in New England. They certainly know the rules and regs, right? And I can't think of a NFL representative, NFLPA representative who wouldn't be like that after going through all the meetings and protocols and the sessions that they've gone through this offseason to make sure that the players are ready to go. In regards to making it work, Paul, who is the former player who's involved in this? I don't know if it's a website, an app.
Matt Burke?
Yes. he who has been on our show before at Radio Row.
Smart guy.
He has some type of system or website that comes up with an NFL schedule based on the pandemic scheduling involved, if they had to reduce it down to 10 weeks or 12 weeks or what have you.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the impetus is because the NFL's not coming to him asking for help. And I'm sure they have their own plans for if they need to reduce it and everything. I think this was Peter King's thing this morning. Yeah. I'm a positive. had like a 10-game season and some formulas for what they could do if they needed to reduce. One of which would be baseballish, like trying to keep everything in the same time zones or regions, kind of like baseball's doing. I don't know how much that's helped baseball, quite frankly. I guess it could be worse if these teams were traveling further. I think once you're on an airplane, I'm not sure it matters how far you're going or how long you're on that airplane. Shorter is better, I'm sure. But some of these flights are, you know, if you're talking 20 minutes,
well,
how much difference does it make? I don't know.
There are similarities to baseball, and then there are complete opposites. Like, so if you're on the West Coast, you're playing on the West Coast in baseball.
Yeah.
But Seattle's going to be playing on the East Coast. You know, you're going to have these travel restrictions through the league. Peter King was alluding to that in his column today where he said they're probably going to outlaw or ban teams from, for 1 year only, going out to the other coast early. So no two-day travel anymore because it takes so long to get a test result back. So, for instance, he used the Seahawks as the example. The Seahawks traveling to the East Coast would normally leave on a Friday for a Sunday kickoff, and now they're going to be told they have to leave on Saturday.
And it might be later on a Saturday than they want based on when they get test results back. And the same thing with East Coast teams like to go to the West Coast and stay, and they often get their two West Coast teams bundle and stay.
Right.
They're not going to be allowed to stay, maybe with one exception. The Patriots have a Sunday, Thursday out there. Might be worse for them to come. And so that's pretty complicated. I would say this, baseball to me, it appears the most dangerous thing is getting on a plane, right? And then having some Petri dish hotel stays. Football, I still think the most dangerous thing is the actual game, particularly with linemen breathing on each other for 3.5 hours. Baseball, the game's not that dangerous, seemingly, it would seem, right? The Marlins were infected, played the Phillies. The Phillies actually didn't get infected from that game.
And still no positive tests for the Phillies as they continue to test
them. The Phillies, by the way, have taken a long, long time to get back into action at the league
test.
I don't really get it. Do you guys?
I don't either, no.
But football-wise, I would think, you know, if you have it, the plane ride would be difficult in terms of spreading it amongst yourselves. But team to team is going to be much easier on a Sunday afternoon than it was for Phillies Marlins, right, like we discussed. There's not that much face-to-face action in a baseball game, and there's a ton of face-to-face action in a football game.
But the travel, and you hit on this to begin with, so much worse in baseball. In terms of length of stay, how long you're on the road, going from city to city. And I'm sure with the baseball player, the pull to get out of the hotel room that has not been completely shut down by Major League Baseball yet is so much worse with their schedule.
Hey, Chad, you've heard those casinos. You hear those roulette wheel screaming and then what do they call them? Damn machines, slot machines. That slot machine was calling to the Cardinals. You know that Hutt
like
knows
the
that
siren
noise.
Song of that riverboat casino calling their name.
The beloved Cardinals, all their tradition and how important baseball is.
You're making me jittery over here. I'm ready to go.
But the casino.
Come to me, Cardinals.
For the beloved Cardinals, the great, great Cardinals.
I heard there was a Cardinal who sat down and played that machine, lost everything. To me, that's a hot machine right now. I'm ready to sit down and go. Let's go. Wheel of Fortune, baby.
Hutton would be standing over that guy's shoulder. He'd be like, is this seat taken, sir?
Come to me, Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, come on. Let's go.
Come on. Come. You know you want to enter this doorway. Come in here.
Or gentlemen, I will now be winning at this hot machine.
Go ahead and bet 3 credits on this spin. Let's go. All 3 credits, please.
Look, you know, the guys over there all saying that Lawan says, I'll do whatever it takes, you know.
You missed this. I said Taylor Lewan, that was leader Lawan everything I heard from him today. Like that's the message I hope that the leaders in that locker room, and that, quite frankly, it's going to take the entire league, every locker room, echo what LaJuan's saying there. Because you know LaJuan wants to go out to winners and losers on a Friday night. He's not going to.
Right. He's saying, let's do everything it takes. And, he's also got a 14-day-old daughter, which has a way of changing things. And, he's got, this is his second child. The adultification continues, and that's certainly got a big bearing on it as well. So all this happening simultaneously to him is a good thing for that locker room. Look, I expect the Titans to be responsible, but again, one guy, a couple beers in on a Friday night with non-Titans tugging at him, the test. This isn't the test, what they're saying in a Zoom call with us.
I was going to say, that's the next test, is turning down the invite to go to that house party in East Nashville that we saw over the weekend.
Yeah.
Social media influencer party?
With the girls who were there, right? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that. I'm looking at video of people sharing it on the Instagram story, and I'm thinking, is this live, or is this something that someone saw from like back in March that they're reposting again? Like, I have no idea what I'm seeing nowadays. And indications sure enough, that was happening this weekend, according to the Tennessean.
Yeah, indications are that happened. that happened.
Oh, no, the mayor put out a statement.
Yeah.
Saying investigating it. Yeah, I mean, they said it's a violation. They could get fined, arrested for it, and they're investigating what happened on Fern Avenue in East Nashville.
For the record, though, I'm glad you mentioned fine. The NFL has measures in place. If you go to a event like that, you can't go to an indoor church service if you're in the NFL.
Of over 15 or whatever the number is.
Oh, yeah, whatever's mandated.
Do you know where Fern Avenue is, Chad?
I do not. I've heard of it, but I just know it's in East Nashville is where the party took place.
East. Everything bad happens in the east of Nashville. And yeah, I ask again, what's the area code?
Mostly the northeast is where bad things happen. You're right. Everything bad does happen.
We are out of here for today. We are live tomorrow from Scoreboard Bar and Grill, 2408 Music Valley Drive, 10 to 2, and then we're sticking around for the Preds and Yotes. Join us.
Let's see a little puck. In the meantime, don't block the box. Do lock the locks.